Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We have to go through a number of halachas now. We went through the first six halachas in the Rambam. We promise you to go through a number of halachas regarding kindling fire on Yom Tov. So just to review again, that kindling fire is allowed on Yom Tov, but creating a new fire is not allowed. Okay, for various reasons, either to say that it's no lad, according to the Ravid, or according to the Rambam, that it's something you could have done beforehand. And from that, we also determined that one could not strike a match on Yom Tov. Now, what's very interesting, they bring like this. If you, let's say you want to light a match from an existing fire. So you have to be careful that when you're doing that, it must be lit from the fire per se, as opposed to putting it close to the fire, and then the heat of the fire catches onto it, because then you have now created a new fire. So you have to be really careful when you're going to take a match. Okay, and we understand what we're saying here? So let's say the fire is over here, so you have to put the match into the fire. So now it's a transfer of fire. If I put the match a little higher than it, and the heat
ignites
it, so now I have lit a fire, and then I would be transgressing.
So I mean, okay. You're better off not really to use a match.
No, I didn't say that. Just put the match right into the fire.
But if you have a long matchstick and use the opposite end, that's better, because then you don't have that risk at all.
Just do it right. Or do those wax.
Is it the flint that's...
What do you mean, do it right?
Do it properly.
I said put it in the fire.
Yeah. There's no issue.
Right. Just put it in the fire. That's an important thing.
But as you're putting it in the fire, can it light on its way? Can
you
do it
quickly? Well, you can do it quickly. It takes a couple seconds. You just put it right in. It's going to catch from the fire. You go nice and slow and gingerly... You know, then it could catch a little before, and
even
then that
if it
would
goes
be a
that's fine.
That's fine. But if you put it in the fire, it is now you're transferring a fire. That is nothing. Right. If it's the fire is making that happen, but if you're putting it above the fire, it's the heat that's generating, and now you've created a new fire because you have that fire. It didn't even touch the other fire.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, even though you're transferring, so you could transfer fire with a match. You have to be careful if you're using a match. Let's say a classic example is you have a Yahrzeit candle and you want to light the match, and then from that light another candle, which you have to see. It might not always be so pushy to do that. But anyway, you have to be careful when you're going to put the match down. That's not the one. I'm sorry, that's a different hole. But we'll see that as well. You have to put the match down in a way that you don't put it out. In other words, you just have to put it in the sink, you know, but not put it in the sink.
When you light Shabbos candles,
And put it out. Well, it depends. But you have to just leave it so it goes out on its own. Now, here is a very typical issue that can happen. If let's say you don't have, let's say the second night of Yom Tov, you don't have anything to light the new night of candles. You did not leave a Yahrzeit candle out for whatever reason, and now you're stuck.
The neighbors.
Now you're stuck. So there's a number of options. One, you could say go to the neighbor. The neighbor is not such a pushed option. The reason being, because you're going to be going outside, and really you shouldn't be carrying a fire outside, because more than likely the wind will blow it out. I've had this experience, not that I did it, I had a friend, a neighbor once, who didn't light, and they lit from us, and they went back and forth to our house three times, and they kept going out, and really they shouldn't have been doing that. The only way you could do it is if you somehow have the fire covered.
Yeah, it's covered.
Hard to do that. So that is not the easiest option. So now if you leave your oven on, so if you have a gas stove and there's a pilot light, it's no problem. Just put the match right into the pilot light and it catches. That's simple. If you also have a furnace in the basement, let's say under the water heater, it's a little, you get down on your stomach. I have to do that a couple of times, and you move the thing in, and you get a long match and stick it all the way in, and it comes out. You got that too.
Doesn't usually help for Rosh Hashanah. Furnace usually isn't going at that point.
The water heater. If it's gas, it's run by gas. There's always a fire. There's always
a
pilot lighter. The furnace also. But the first, you have to pick something out. It's really a whole geschäft. It's a little scary. But the water heater. I was afraid to open up furnaces. That's not, you know. But the water heater. It's a lot easier. You just move one little thing. It's right at the bottom. It's kind of self-contained. Just put your thing in there. You're done. Now the other thing is, well, if you've got the stove on. Now, and if you have an electric stove or an electric with coils, etc., etc., can you use that? So that's a big discussion in the poskim. Many poskim say if the electric coil is red hot, then that is considered like fire. It's red hot. You see it's glowing. So if it's glowing, then you're permitted to put the match on the red hot coil and to ignite the match. And again, you have to put it directly on the coil and not just near the coil, because if it lights it up on not touching the coil, it's like you created the fire. If the coil's only hot but not red hot, you really shouldn't do it, because then it's again coming from the heat rather than something that's the actual fire. So now what are you going to do? So you got to really wait till the coil gets red hot. So really, what does that mean? You got to wait till the thermostat goes on again, right? Well, that's, you have this thing on 300, right? So it could be when you come to the stove, the thermostat's off and the coil is not red hot. Now, really, it's hot enough to light the match, without a question. It's hot enough to light the match. But you're getting to that problem where you may be creating a new fire from that. So you really should wait until it gets red hot. And when it gets red hot, you see the light goes on or whatever, and it's generating to get it hot. Then you can do it from that. So that's regarding how to get out of that issue.
What about using a piece of paper on the coil?
What's that? Is it red hot?
No, but yeah, it doesn't, it's not a match that's going to combust because of the heat.
No, it transfers flame though.
No. You're still creating a fire. Yeah. Same issue. If the coil is not red hot, that's not considered a fire. So now you're just making it from the heat of the coil. You're igniting the paper. It's no different than a match. So you can't do that either. Now, similarly, electricity, all those issues are all, you cannot turn lights on. You know, the heating, the air conditioning, all these things are all issues that all relate to creating fire under all these circumstances. So we can't do that either. Now, how about if you want to transfer a fire from one place? Now, there is this thing, what if you're kindling and it doesn't really serve any practical purpose? So that's not allowed. So let's say you're transferring a fire from one place to another. Let's say you're lighting one candle for another. So really, you should do it directly and not use an intermediary such as a match to light one from the other, because it really is it's like you're lighting that match. There's no real reason to light it, because I could have gone straight and brought the candle to the other one, and that would be an unnecessary transfer, which we should avoid, right? And since I could have done it directly from the candle to the candle, why did I use the match? So that's one problem. Also, another example is using a candle to light a stove. So the candle should be taken directly to the stove instead of, let's say, lighting a piece of paper from the candle, then lighting the stove, unless you have significant reasons to do that. So therefore, you try to cut down on the intermediaries. Go from the fire directly to what you want to light. That's the point we're saying. Don't use an intermediary unless there's reasons which would make it very difficult. If, let's say, not using an intermediary would create a great burden for you, and you're spending more time because you're not using an intermediary, then you could use one. What would be a good example is, let's say, a guy who smokes on Yom Tov. We'll get to it in more detail shortly. But let's say he's smoking on Yom Tov, and he doesn't have a fire in his house. So what's he going to have to do? He's going to go to his neighbor to light his cigarette, right? Now, let's say he's going to have 10 cigarettes today. He's going to have to go to his neighbor 10 times. Okay, that's a bit of a hassle. What would be a simpler solution?
Get his own Yahrzeit candle.
Take a Yahrzeit candle and light off of the neighbor. Now, on the one hand, you're going to say, yeah, but that's an intermediary who doesn't need the Yahrzeit candle, this and that, and everything else. But this way, it's making him spend less effort, because I don't have to go 10 times to the neighbor.
So you have to carry the Yahrzeit candle.
Even though it's an intermediary, but it's an intermediary that has purpose, because it makes it easier for him not to have to go to the other guy's house, so you could use the intermediary for that.
You're going to have to carry the Yahrzeit candle outside.
Well, it's junk if you're allowed to.
No, you said you might go out.
So unless you've, covered it and whatever.
And you've taken, cigarette, you're not worried about it going out.
And you've taken care of those issues. I'm just giving you an example of that.
You should light it.
Or let's say it's a neighbor on the second floor. Whatever, I'm just saying. Now, also, you can light a fire to ensure they'll be available in case you have certain needs. In other words, she said, you know, I'm really probably going to need to have a yahrzeit candle lit. I probably have a lot, even though you don't have a specific one, but you figure it might be. So there, you feel reasonable expectation, and you can light it. Now we come to the yahrzeit candle, and we're going to come to a new chiddush that we're going to have to make maybe changes for next Yom Tov.
Quick question about using the intermediary. Can you do that if you're worried that if you use the direct one, your source will go out?
Yeah, then that would be, that means you needed to do that. Then you could do that. You could use an intermediary. Or if you're afraid to do one,
if you lose
you want
your
a
one
long
short,
intermediary. Yeah. For example, I'll give you an example. When you're lighting, if you didn't have the candles lit, and now you have to light a match or light something from the pilot light under the water heater,
you don't
want to use the candle because you want to keep your hand far away from that. You're going to take one of these long matchsticks because you don't want to put your hand really close enough to that fire over there. Right? It's scary. So therefore, you know, then you want to use an intermediary to protect your hand, which is definitely a yunt of need. Okay. Now, here's the issue with yahrzeit candles. So it's not so pashut whether the lighting of a yahrzeit candle is considered a Yom Tov need.
It's during Yom Tov.
Yes, we're saying you're going to light...
But you light it before Yom Tov.
Hold on. We're talking about a yahrzeit candle. Okay, so we're not talking about Rosh Hashanah. We're talking about, let's say, not even Kippur wouldn't be. Let's say the last day of Sukkot.
Okay.
Last day of Pesach. Second day of Shavuos.
Okay, lighting a yahrzeit candle for
you light a yahrzeit. Or even a yahrzeit. Let's say it's a yahrzeit is on Yom Tov. It's a yisker candle, right? So you know, it's a big. It's not so. Is that really a Yom Tov need? No. Do you need it for Yom Tov?
You need it for that day.
Okay, but I don't need it for Yom Tov. It's not a Yom Tov. So it's a big argument amongst the rabbis: is it considered a Yom Tov need or not? You can see the two sides of the coin. What do you mean on Yom Tov we always light yahrzeit candles? But then again, it's not really for Yom Tov. So anyway, so therefore they tell you it's preferable to light the candle before Yom Tov. Well, if you live in Israel, that's really easy. You just do it before Yom Tov. But in Chutz Lars, we're always lighting on the second day. That's a problem. So if you didn't do that, and you need it for the second day of Yom Tov, so therefore they suggest the best way, which we're not going to do, is to light the candle in shul. Light the yahrzeit candle doesn't have to be in the house. Yahrzeit candle can be in shul, and because lighting a candle in a shul is considered a mitzvah. So if you're putting the light in the shul, then lighting the yahrzeit candle is permitted as well. But obviously, you got to light it in a place in the shul where people use it. Now, I don't know if that would hold nowadays. In the olden days, that was the whole source of light.
Right.
Now, if we put a candle here, it wouldn't help much over here. So I don't know if that would help.
In the corner.
But this is the one we can fall back on. If lighting the shul is not feasible, for whatever reason, then the yahrzeit candle can be lit even at home. So, b'di'eved, you know, we allow it. Since it's an argument, we allow it. But even when you get home, you should light in a place where you benefit from the light, so at least there's some kind of yunt of use. And therefore, they bring over from the poskim that the Be'er Halacha brings on, you should light it in a place that you're going to be using it, let's say a place where you're eating. But then it brings from Refelder that would only be in their days where they didn't have electricity. But we have electricity, so that wouldn't even help either. So really you should light it in a room that is dark, let's say a bedroom or somewhere, where it really is providing light. That would be the optimal way to do it. If you're lighting a yahrzeit candle on the second day of Yom Tov, because it's a debate if it is a Yom Tov need or not, it's preferable to light in a room that would otherwise be dark. And you're lighting it over there as the yahrzeit candle provide illumination as well. So with all that being said, it makes the things very complicated. And therefore, really, the best thing would be to light a 48-hour yahrzeit candle before Yom Tov, and therefore you've got it running the whole time, and that avoids the whole issue. So that is our new insight for this year. Not that it was wrong in the past.
Yeah,
I mean, you definitely had...
That was Sid's question.
So now we understand, and I could tell Sid, and Sid couldn't be here today.
So can you use it? You can use it for more than one purpose. Like it's lighting it for Yiskubi, you can also use it light the second day of Yom Tov candles. from.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have to be solely for that purpose.
Yeah, that's fine.
You can use it?
Yeah, it's not sanctified. It's not sacred. It's not like a Hanukkah candle.
No, you got three.
What about, like in this case, where...
No, just two. Well, then you need to light for Shabbos also.
Three times.
You definitely, even if you don't have a Yahrzeit site, no, 48 is enough, because then it's enough to light for Friday night candles.
Sometimes 48 won't make it if you have a 3-day... Like
Yom Kippur, Shabbos. You're lucky. You got the 44-hour one, right?
So
it goes out 3 hours before Shabbos. We're bringing in Shabbos early this year, so.
But if you think it's not going to make it, you can't really light another one because you're lighting it up for Yom Kippur. You're lighting that one, so you have a light for Shabbos. So you're kind of stuck.
Well, no. Let's put it this way. No. Let's forget about your say. You need to light Shabbos candles.
Right. It's not Shabbos when you light.
But you need no. But when you're that's where the Erev Tavshilin helps here. The Erev Tavshilin is helping you to make your preparations from Yom Tov to Shabbos. It's not only food, it's whatever you need to prepare for Shabbos. And definitely, you need candles for Shabbos.
So you could light
you must light candles for Shabbos. You don't have an option over here. Since you have to light candles for Shabbos, if you feel that 48-hour one is going out by 4 in the afternoon, you could light a Yahrzeit candle to provide fire for the needs that you will have, and specifically you're going to need to light Shabbos candles, which is definitely a mitzvah. It's oinik Shabbos. You have to light candles on Shabbos, and you're allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos for that need. So then you would be able to light.
You could do everything else to like set the table on Yom Tov for
everything. That's all because you made the Erev Tavshilin. That's it. Even if you're not cooking, say, I don't care. I cooked everything already. Doesn't matter. You still want to prepare, warm up the food, set the table, all those things from Friday for that, so that Erev Tavshilin comes in handy. And I hope I don't forget to make it tomorrow.
Yeah,
you're our backup. Why do you?
I get this
for the community. You're a backup.
It's for the community. It's like
it's for everything. Everybody depends on it.
It's for everybody.
No pressure.
No pressure. You'll do it. I'm not worried.
I've got so many other.
So there's nothing wrong with having two Yahrzeit candles you light to be ready for Shabbos. Like you light one the first day, and then you light a second one. Then you've got 52 hours. 26 times 2.
Well, it's better just light a 48-hour one.
But if you're not sure it's going to last...
Well, just start with it, and then you'll see. You'll be home in the afternoon. You can always light another one.
If you need to.
So I would say, based on what we've learned, that the best thing would be to light a 48-hour...
I'm not talking about when there's Yiska. I'm just talking about, like, for Rosh Hashanah, for example.
Yeah, okay. So now we're not dealing with the Yahrzeit here. We're not dealing with the Yiska. So what should we be doing here? So you can definitely... You light one, right? And comes the next day, you could light the next one because you're going to have a need for Friday afternoon. So you could light... That's not for Yahrzeit. That's for general needs of Yom Tov, which you will have. So you light one before Yom Tov. You're fine. That takes you until Thursday night. And then you really would probably have enough to light the Yom Tov candles from the first one, but you know you're going to need one for Friday, and if you don't light another Yahrzeit candle, you will not have for Friday, so then you could light that.
Right.
And then I don't think you'd have to. But Dafka use a 48-hour one.
Right. Save the 48-hour one.
But you would need it for Sukkos. Last day of Sukkos before Shemini Atzeres, you preferably should have the 48-hour one.
Right.
And if they say they're 72, then call a kavod. Go with 70. Whatever.
Sobeys? I've seen the week-long ones, but that's very...
Not anywhere the candles are.
Now, it could just make life easier for you. I would just say, not as a halacha, but just as good advice, if you should really light a 48 one now, in case you don't, you might forget to relight it, the next night.
No.
Okay, I understand. That's already a big tircha.
But they do have 72-hour candles.
Yes.
They're not quite where the candles are.
No, that's
okay. Anyway, that's another discussion. It's not for the Rambam.
So is it only one Yahrzeit candle at Yisra? Like it doesn't matter how many distances.
You know, there's different customs. Some people do one per person. Some do one for the men, one for the ladies. Depends. I mean, really, you should do more candles.
So then you do two.
How many candles do you light for your Yahrzeit candles? That's another topic. I mean, in general, if you can, you light one per person.
So then you do two 48-hour candles.
All the people that you're doing your Yahrzeit
for. Yisker.
For Yisker.
But then you'd light two 48-hour candles.
Yeah. person.
Make sure your pilot lights on.
Yeah. Again, if there's other, you know, concerns of little children could get in the way, then you have to be more practical. Okay, now we come to another interesting thing that all fits in. Havdalah candles. Now it's not Nogea this year, but it could be in certain years when Yontif is on what? On a Sunday. Right? You're going from Shabbos into Sunday. And of course, what's the order of the Kiddush ceremony? It's called
Yaknah.
Dan Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman. How can you get that, right? So, so now, of course, for Havdalah, you're making Havdalah during Kiddush, you have to have at least 2 wicks. A Havdalah candle has to be a torch, right? So it's got to be at least 2 wicks that are twined for Havdalah. Now, obviously, you can't light a Havdalah candle on Yontif. For what reason?
Because it has no Yontif.
No, you could light it, but there's a reason why I wouldn't
put
mind.
Because
you can't put it out.
It's
got this big, beautiful Havdalah candle. You light it, and now what do you do with it? What do you do with it? You have to put it into the sink and just let it burn out for the next hour and a half or whatever. Not an advisable thing. I mean, technically, you could do it if you want to blow a whole Havdalah candle and all that. but that's a problem. Right, so you have to. So now what are you going to do? So, and again, it seems to be another debate on this issue as well. They say over here you shouldn't light the candle specifically for Havdalah either. There's another issue besides the practical issue. There's a halachic issue over here because the machlokas is the requirement of having 2 wicks together. Is considered enough of a yontif need to permit this type of activity. It means making Havdalah the yontif need with 2 wicks. So therefore, they say, you take 2 candles that were already lit, a.k.a. The yontif candles that you've lit the yontif candles, and when you're making that Havdalah during Kiddush, you take 2 of the yontif candles, hold them together, and now you've got the 2 wicks, and that becomes the Havdalah candle. And when you're finished, you separate them. And that's how you make the Havdalah.
What is if you don't use candles?
Yeah, oil.
Then
oil.
You've got...
Oil and water.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge.
I don't think my wife will.
So then you would have to pre-light.
Pre-light the other candles.
Now you got another problem. This is coming in from a Saturday.
Yeah.
So it means, you know, you don't have two. You've got a Yahrzeit candle at best.
Yeah, yeah.
So now you have to light 2 other candles that already were lit. You with me? And then you got to use them for Havdalah. You're following here, what the issue is here.
Yeah.
Now, as well, some posts can say the 2 candles should not be held in such close proximity, should be held close, but not intertwined, but they shouldn't be touching. And some say hold enough, maybe just going for the flames, not the wicks. This is another issue. When you have the 2 wicks together touching, when you separate them, it looks like you're extinguishing the fire, which is another issue. It's a big machlokas, and it's not clear what the final psak in that area is. But just to make life easy, the best way would probably be just keep it that the 2 fires are touching, but not that the wicks are touching.
We should get some disposable Havdalah candles.
You know, so I don't. But for guys who use oil, it's a shtickle problem.
Yeah, it's a shtickle problem.
Because you can't. I mean, really, all you need is 1 candle. Because you take 1 candle and put it over the oil one, and that would make 2.
But you don't even need that. You can just look at the. You can look at the lights really for the.
That's not the best thing.
I know, but you could do that.
Which lights? Not all lights are
incandescent,
whatever. That's not the best. The best is to. You'd like to do this is the best way.
100%.
Right? You don't do it for normal Havdalah, right?
Well, no.
But if I recall correctly, my memory isn't so good. For some reason, it sticks in my mind. That when we were in yeshiva once for a yontif that was after, and they had to make Havdalah, and they used it on. Well, Telus was very scared about the candles in general because now there was a big fire that burnt the dormitory. 2 boys were killed years ago. This is the early 60s. So they were very like never wanting to use any candles, but I think they made Havdalah on the lights in the cafeteria. But really, you should be putting two candles together. So those are the issues that you have to deal with. Now, I don't know how long we've been going, but we'll do one more topic and we'll stop. Cigarettes. Okay? Even though I'm sure nobody here smokes.
You should stop smoking.
But now, here is the issue over here. We said that on Yom Tov, you're only allowed to use fire for things that are universal needs. Like cooking is universal need. Bathing is, washing your hands is a universal need. Heat is a universal need. Light is a universal need. Is having a cigarette a universal need? So it's a big machlokes. This was in the poskim years ago, like 100, 200 years ago, when nobody knew about the dangers of cigarette smoking. We're not even talking about the dangers of cigarette smoking, right? So there's a that's one issue. Certainly, there's more issues now because it's a health issue. So certainly, if you say what's the best thing, is certainly one should never smoke and not to smoke on Yom Tov. However, those who do smoke have on whom to rely on. They have. I'm not advising it, but you can't say he's a Russia. He smokes, and he has whom to rely on. So now, here's the issue, though: who gets the bigger leniency? A chain smoker or the occasional smoker?
The chain smoker, because he's going to be
inside. The chain smoker will be, because the chain smoker, if he doesn't have a cigarette, he's going nuts. The guy who can live a day without smoking, so it's not a Yom Tov need. But the guy who mamish smokes a pack a day or whatever, I mean, a real smoker, that becomes a real need, and therefore he has poskim to rely on that you could do it. However, just because you've lit up doesn't mean there aren't other isurim you have to deal with. For example, opening the package. That should be preferably opened before Yom Tov, because when you open the package, there can be all kinds of problems. Number one, you've created a utensil when you open it properly. So you got to open it from the other way and like break the package, as it were. But be careful not to cut any letters. Also, I don't know anything about cigarettes, thank God. I think some of the cigarettes on the paper has writing on the cigarette, and there could be issues.
Sometimes I think it's just
that
on
the fire is burning
the
thing. So it's preferable to try to smear over the letters with a pen or a marker on Yom Tov before to avoid the problem.
Before Yom Tov.
I meant before. And if it wasn't, then b'dievet it would be okay. Now, obviously, you can't use a lighter to light your cigarette.
No.
You'd have to be lighting off a pre-existing flame. Now, there's another problem. What do most smokers do after they've been smoking for a little while on the same cigarette? They have to...
Before that stage.
Flick the ashes off. You can't flick the ashes off, because why? Because that would be extinguishing the flame, which you're not, part of the fire. You're extinguishing part of the fire. So that is a problem. So you just kind of have to hold it and wait till it just falls.
So no one says you can't light a cigarette, but you'll be tempted to flick the ash?
Yeah. No, they don't say that.
If someone normally smokes,
you cannot flick it, and you'd have to just let it continue till it falls. Now, another issue is ashes are muksa, so you can't let the ashes go on something that would now. Let's say you have a. What am I going to do with my ashes? Now you figure that's why they have an ashtray. So if you have an ashtray, that's fine, because the ashtray is designated to have ash. But let's say you didn't have an ashtray, you couldn't decide to put it, let's say bring up a plate to the room, and now wait for the ash to fall on that, because then what would be wrong with that? You'd be nullifying the utensil for any further uses, which is not permitted, because now the muksa goes on the plate, and you couldn't use the plate, and you're not allowed to knock out the use of the plate on Yom Tov. So you'd have to allow the ash to fall in the sink or somewhere, or better,
ashtray.
Smoke outside, or an ashtray. And certainly you cannot butt it out. That for sure cannot be done. Okay, now, let's just... this is very important here, halacha here. Let's say you're going to light one candle for another. How should you light it? Should you take the lit one to go over the one that wasn't lit, or the one that wasn't lit to go over the one that is lit, and give me a proof? Which would be worse?
If you take the one that's lit, the wax is sitting in there from a snow outside.
And what would that make that happen? What happens quickly, now? You're right. So what happens when some of that wax goes out? What have you effectively done?
Extinguished the fire.
You've hastened the extinguishing of that candle, because that little bit of liquid may go another 30 seconds, whatever. Therefore, it's better to take the unlit one, put it over it, and then light off of that, because then you're not decreasing the amount of a little bit of oil, whatever, that's on top of the candle from that.
Wow.
Okay?
Use the light.
Well, you can't light it.
No, you can't use use intermediate. Using oil, you can't. You can't take the oil to the candle.
Yeah,
no,
so what do you do?
You take a candle or you
have
to
light
it.
See, that's what, so how do you, that's why you always need a candle, see?
Yeah.
So when you're that havdolish, you always need a How do you light it on the second day of Yom Tov?
My wife has a long matchstick. She goes to the Yortzeit candle and lights the matchstick, and then goes and lights all the candles.
In one shot?
Usually in one shot, yeah.
Okay.
Because she has the long wooden matchstick.
Okay.
Rabbi, this sounds somewhat unrelated, but it's related to the cigarettes.
Yeah.
Medications, are you allowed to
button?
Okay, that's a whole...
Smoke medications?
No, but I'm wondering... Does
medication have to do with anything?
No, but if you're addicted to cigarettes, is that... It's like a drug.
So, I'm sorry, I'm not kidding.
If cigarettes are like a drug, are you allowed to take medications on your
own? That's not really a drug.
What do you mean medication?
Like you want to say it's also to smoke because it's taking drugs?
Yeah.
No, because it's not a drug. No one ever grinds a pestle to make a cigarette. It's not a drug. It's not a drug. Now, one last thing. Now, you're allowed to remove leftover wax from inside a candle holder. That you're allowed to do. You may remove wax that's left over. You're going to put the next one and you can take it out. However, you can't melt, if you want to put a candle in, you can't melt down the bottom of the candle to make it secure. You can't cut the bottom of the candle to make it secure. All you can do is force it into the holder and have it in there. So we did the malacha of lighting, of kindling, and the next time we meet, which will be in a while, I'll explain why, we're going to go to extinguishing. Now, next week we have three lessons, and there's three chapters for the laws of Yom Kippur, and with God's help, we will do all three chapters next week. In terms of the book, let me just check, is it the same book or
the other book?
No, it's the same book.
Is it? I thought that's probably
in this one, Martin, is the other book. That
Come
was
on.
Confusing me. When I went there to Yisrael, I didn't
Come
do
on.
That. So for the Hebrew one, it's the other book.
Which book?
The base. It's two zmanim. There's two zmanim, not one.
This is base, so it's Aleph. We go back to Aleph.
Yeah. And it's in your same book, Hilcha Shvisas Asor. It's only three chapters, and they're very easy.
Yeah. It's right
page 151. So next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we just have to finish it, because if we don't finish it before Yom Kippur, it's really... So after Yom Kippur, then we'll come back to the laws of Yontif, which is coming right into
Sukkot. What was the other book we bought at the same time, I thought?
It has other help. It has...
I thought we did that so we could...
We're going back and forth. We are. Don't worry. We'll
switch
back. Okay, shkoyach, guys.
Any other room, Rabbi?